Now, Ruben Brigati is the new American ambassador to South Africa. He presented his credentials to President Cyril Ramaphosa last week and has brought his family with him to join him on his mission to be the chief representative of the most powerful military force in the world in this country. Nominated by President Joe Biden to be the U.S. ambassador to South Africa, he previously served as the dean of the Elliott School of International Affairs at the George Washington University, and he joins us now on the line. Ambassador, welcome to South Africa.
Good morning, Magani. It's an honor to be with you.
In his remarks, President Ramaphosa last week made much of how South Africa's post-democracy international relations were in part forged from the international solidarity of the anti-apartheid movement. Ambassador?
Yes, and you know, so President Biden has been has a deep engagement in, as you said, the fight against the former apartheid regime. He has very much enjoyed his personal engagements with President Ramaphosa, as well as has Secretary of State developed a very strong rapport with Foreign Minister Pandor. And we are very grateful for those links and very much look forward to strengthening them in the years ahead.
Indeed, if not various administrations in the U.S., certainly there were many ordinary Americans who supported that cause.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of the things that I think as we look back on the relationship between the United States and South Africa, I think that many in South Africa can justifiably, frankly, be unhappy with the U.S. position towards the apartheid regime right up until the sanctions regime that was put in place in 1986. But notwithstanding the position of our government, as you correctly said, there were millions of American citizens that were vehemently opposed to the apartheid regime, that stood in great solidarity with those of the struggle, and that ultimately pushed our government to do the right thing. And I'm very proud of that role of civil society in terms of the fight against apartheid in South Africa.
You're no stranger, of course, to the continent, having previously served as the U.S. representative to the African Union.
That's correct. Indeed, my whole family is not a stranger to the continent. My father, Dr. Ruben Brigati Sr., was one of the first volunteers with Operation Crossroads Africa in 1963, where he served in what was then Northern Rhodesia, now Zambia. My wife was born in Ethiopia and emigrated to the United States at the age of four after the overthrow of His Imperial Highness Haile Selassie. And yes, I have served in multiple capacities, both in Africa and on African policy over the course of the last couple of decades.
You come to us at a time when perhaps there's uncertainty about the world order. The post-World War II, I suppose, configuration of the international system, some will say, has never been shakier.
Well, I think there is no doubt that we are facing a plethora of crises around the world today, from obviously military interventions such as the case of Russia and Ukraine, tensions across the Taiwan Strait, but also quite serious economic issues, some of which are a result of those geopolitical tensions, others of which are a result of the continued recovery from COVID. And then also, quite frankly, just the continued legacy work of ensuring that everybody in the world can live a life of dignity, and provide for their children and see a future for themselves. And that those are things from health issues to economic development that the government of the United States continues to be committed to, and also clearly here in South Africa.
The rise of the influence of the Chinese and Russians on the continent is undeniable. Would you concede your country is perhaps losing the fight for hearts and minds?
We don't see this as a fight for hearts and minds. One of the things that I think is quite palpable about this current moment in Africa's history is that, one, 50, 60 years, broadly speaking, after the independence movements that swept Africa starting in the 1960s for the most part, You're seeing a real renaissance, 2 to 3 generations onward, in which African nations are choosing for themselves their own destinies. That includes choosing their own partners. We in the United States are deeply committed to the vision for Africa as Africans have defined for themselves, for example, through documents like Agenda 2063 through the African Union. We believe that we are very strong and committed partners on the same value set that, again, Africans have defined for themselves, and it's up to Africans to decide what they want in their partnerships.
Let's test that then. You talk about African countries being in a position to choose for themselves and not seeing it as a fight for hearts and minds. We have the ongoing crisis with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. We now have our defense minister, Thandi Modise, on her way to Moscow, ostensibly for a security conference. And even though we have said we remain neutral in this conflict, surely there are many who will see that kind of visit as support for Russia and not standing in solidarity with your side.
Well, first of all, the side that's most important is the side of the Ukrainian people, who have been fighting valiantly for their own independence, against the assault of a foreign power that crossed their borders unprovoked, and that is determined to wipe them out of existence as a country. The international community cannot stand for that. No sovereign country would. As it relates to how to approach the resolution of this crisis, our Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, had a very good and frank exchange of views with Foreign Minister Pandor when he visited here last week. They had a, as did President Biden, President Ramaphosa, have a very clear phone call this past spring in which we were able to help understand where we're coming from. Foreign Minister Pandor also expressed to Secretary Blinken, as many people around, leaders around the world have, a desire to see the fighting end. And Secretary Blinken made clear, as he has in other occasions with other interlocutors, that the United States stands ready to have a diplomatic solution today. But it must come with the respect for Ukraine as a full sovereign country, with a full withdrawal of all Russian forces from Ukrainian territory prior to the start of the conflict, and security guarantees to make sure something like this never happens again.
I mentioned at the start of our conversation the shared solidarity between our peoples for the promotion of human rights. Many of us, Ambassador, look at your country now and we see an America we hardly recognize, as so many of the freedoms we all cherish are being rolled back there.
You know, Mangani, one of the things that I often say is that the story of America is not one of perfection, it is one of perfecting. And that means constantly observing the professed values are enshrined in our founding documents, like our Constitution, and comparing it against our lived reality, and then working to close the gap between the two. That is the work of a democracy, of a free democratic people. As you've correctly said, the various strains and tensions that are currently extant in American society are a plane for the whole world to see. And also, the whole world will see us working it out. Sometimes it's challenging, sometimes it's messy, but what it is the work of a free people, making sure or having this contestation, this conversation about how we make our lived reality lived up to our values.
But you're an intellectual. How do you, as somebody who comes from the state of Florida, reconcile with now legislation being passed by the governor there that certain books might be too woke and therefore banned? How does that square up with the America that you know?
Sure. Well, I am a proud native of the state of Florida, multi-generationally so. One of the things that I often say is that if any history is relevant, that all of it is. We must tell it all so that we can build a future that includes us all. There are many aspects of American history that are painful and challenging, and yet we must continue to study them collectively, both in order to honor the sacrifice of those that labored, often under very oppressive conditions, often giving blood and often giving their lives, to ensure that the promise of America applies to everybody. And part of the reason to continue to study that history is so that we can learn those sorts of lessons to apply to continue to perfect our union in the years going forward. Obviously, with regard to the particular legislation that was passed in Florida, the citizens of the great state of Florida, my home state, again, will continue to have that contested conversation about what does it mean to have our lived experience match their values. And again, this is the work of a free democratic people.
Ambassador, I hope this will be the first of many conversations. There'll never be enough time to talk about so many of the things I want to put to you, but we welcome you and your family here. And by the way, you still need to work a little on your isiZulu, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of time for that.
I promise I'll get better. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much there for your time. That's the freshly minted U.S. Ambassador to South Africa, Ambassador Reuben Brigadier II.